Thank you for downloading this podcast of TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. To find out about more podcasts from 702 Drive, including self-improvements and the best bits of The Drive Show, check out our website, abc.net.au/Sydney/Richard Glover. But not before you've enjoyed this edition of Thank God It's Friday.
We would like to advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, and language that may offend some listeners.
And welcome to the Lindley Evans Music Studio at the ABC in Ultimo for another edition of Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and this week, a band that is hard line on the subject of beards, ladies and gentlemen. They all have beards. Every song they sing is about beards. And their name is, what else would it be? The Beards, ladies and gentlemen. And our panel, the bearded ladies themselves, Julia Morris and Jackie Loeb. And the surprisingly non-hirsute Subby Valentine. But first, here as usual, is the news from nowhere. Soap is full of germs, according to the cleaning guru Shannon Lush. In Australian House and Garden magazine, Lush recommends every member of the household, as well as any passing guests, be given a personal bar of soap with their name carved in it. This is so clearly bordering on clinical insanity, I have an urge to ring the mental health hotline and demand some sort of intervention. Perhaps a course of anafranil might help Shannon Lush. I assume the names have to be recarved every night, each person bent over their soapy palimpsest, vainly trying to fix their names on the ever-shrinking tablet. I just want to know, are family members sharing tools, and how high is the risk of a soap-related injury? Luckily, one of the advertisers in the same magazine comes to the rescue with the alarming headline, "Do you know where your soap has been?" This is true. It then presents a diary of a dirty bar of soap, suggesting you should worry about using the same soap as other members of your family. The conclusion, you should invest in a bottle of Palmolive moisturising shower milk. Product slogan, taking money off sad and phobic customers for over a generation. Well, that should be their slogan. Have people gone completely mad? How have I survived this long despite my wayward and foolhardy use of soap? At the very least, it's clear I should have used a second bar of soap to soap the soap before I used it as soap. But would the germs then adhere to the second bar, rather like the perpetually transferring stains in The Cat in the Hat? Would I need a third soap to soap the second soap and then a fourth soap to soap the third soap? Would I, with apologies to Dr. Zeus, be better to buy a soap on a rope and hang it round my neck like a rope on a dope? Of course, it's not just soap. Everywhere there is paranoia about germs, as if the bodies of our fellow humans were these hateful, poisonous things. Antibacterial sprays and wipes now fill half the supermarket. They are the hijab of the West, an attempt to screen ourselves from other people. They are also entirely pointless. Humans are designed to live with germs. Our bodies quite like fighting them off. Up to a few years ago, parents seemed to accept this behaviour. "A few germs never hurt anyone," said generations of parents as they picked up dropped ice creams, lollipops and sausages and stuffed them back into the eager hands of their children. Even a dropped baby's bottle was sterilised by the traditional method of handing it to the father, who would suck off the dirt and then wipe it on his shirt. Voila, spotless. No longer. Everything now must be sterilised, bleached and blasted. There's now a view among doctors that this germ obsession is doing more harm than good. The growing incidence of asthma, some believe, may be due to our attempts to remove germs from the lives of our children. The body, with nothing decent to fight, turns its attentions inwards and destroys itself. Much like the New South Wales Labor Party. Of course, advertisers have been playing this game for decades, trying to make us feel ashamed and dirty so we'll buy their wretched products. What is the antibacterial wipe other than the 21st century version of the odour eater? You remember the odour eater? It's all about anxiety. In the original advertisement for the odour eater, the device was placed in your shoe, whereupon it would chomp through any odours it could locate. It was like the cookie monster of odours. It was never explained what would happen next. Momentarily satiated by its meal, would it rest a while before sniffing out fresh odours to consume? Would it clamber out of your shoe and start heading for your bum? Would it have your whole body consumed before help was called? Palmolive Gold Soap, meanwhile, told us we shouldn't wait to be told. Told what? Presumably that our repulsive body odour was the talk of the town. Why did we allow advertisers to talk to us like this? Watching TV in the 70s was like being bullied at primary school. You just sat there as people came up and said, you know what? You smell. After a couple of decades, we got sick of being bullied. The technique stopped working. So now they are sneering in the same sing-song schoolyard voice. You know what? You're covered in germs. They're going to get you if you don't buy the antibacterial scrub. Your baby is going to die. The bully, rather like a mafia enforcer, then suggests there may be a way out. Just hand over some cash and we'll give you protection. Of course, like the mafia, the fear they promise to ease is the one they've just created. As the experts say, it's important to take the bullies on. And so I take a step towards them and I say very calmly, well, yes, I am covered in germs, but so are you, you antibacterial wipe manufacturer. And so are we all. Oh, and another thing, guess where you can shove your product? Who knows? Up there it might actually do some good. And that's the news from nowhere. Now we need to don beards. The beards are here to perform for us in just a second. But actually, well, let's have a question first. Everyone assumed that when the new government took control, all our problems would be solved, didn't we? On Monday. Oh, go on, have a honeymoon, Barry. Tuesday. No more crowded roads, no more cancelled trains. It hasn't worked out that way. The city rail system stopped for over an hour during peak hour this week. I think one switch broke at Sydenham. Why is it always Sydenham? It's always Sydenham. There are a million songs about trains, from Chattanooga Choo Choo to Morningtown Ride. Can you rewrite the titles of some famous train songs in order to better reflect the realities of the state train system? Filthy, vandalised, crime-ridden trains which rarely move. Subby Valentine.
This one's not strictly a train song, but it's, I'd love to get this one going on TGIF, so I think it would be very appropriate. Am I ever going to see my train again? No way, get... You know how... I think they could just play that at the station. That'd be great. A couple of others. I've just rewritten a couple of the words. People Get Ready. You know that song? People Get Ready. That's a great little train song. So it'd be People Get Ready because there's no train coming. You don't need a ticket because I just told you there's no train. What are you doing? Last Train to Clarksville. You know that one? That's a great little song. Take the filthy train to Marrickville and get punched out at the station. It's disgusting and it's dirty and will give you constipation. It's so slow. And the final one, Folsom Prison Blues, classic train song, Bankstown Line Blues. I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling round the bend. Actually, that's not it, it's bloody late again. I'm stuck at Town Hall Station and I've got nowhere to go. And I wouldn't mind so much except it really stinks of B.O.
Subby Valentine, very nice. Julia Morris, the great song, the great train songs don't seem very appropriate to our situation.
Don't. Well, you did mention Morningtown Ride, but I really was thinking of the Morningtown Sauna. There's only 1,200 people per carriage, so it couldn't be more relaxing. And I tell you, there's nothing I love more than the smell of dirty hair in the morning, because that's people do not shower before they get on the train. Not everyone, obviously. No judgment. Don't get turn on me. So I decided that Lean On Me, not the traditional train song, but all of a sudden people, lean on me when your hair pongs. I cannot move. Have you showered at all this year? It doesn't rhyme, but anyway, I am a little bit jet-lagged, not very bright. And then I've been working on the railroad, I would turn to. We haven't bothered working on the railroad all the livelong year. And Big City Train, by No Doubt, I've changed to big with a word that rhymes with city, train. Yes.
Jackie Loeb.
Oh, remember this song? My baby takes the morning train. He works from 9 to 5 and then he takes another home again to find me waiting for him. I love that song. I think there should be more songs written about leaving babies on public transport. I really do. But I think the best song that kind of encapsulates the situation with our train debacle at the moment would have to be this one. Do, 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 do. Do 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 do, Citadel proved too much for the man, so he's leaving the carriage that he got mugged in. He said he's going to try and find the track work that commenced in 1989 on the northwest link that takes you out to Castle Hill that Barry O'Farrell said he'd build. He's leaving, leaving on that midnight train from Central because it terminated on platform 3 15 years ago. I got to live with him, I know you will, on that midnight train because City Rail's expecting delays because the signal has failed. I have to leave with him now because we're about to be derailed. I have to leave with him now because I see the ticket inspector and I'm about to be jailed.
Oh, that's beautiful. So
Jackie Lode on Thank God It's Friday.
Thank God It's Friday with Richard Glover.
Okay, beard up, ladies and gentlemen. Beard up. Here we go. Now, we're joined by the Beards. They're playing tonight at the Vanguard in Sydney. Johan Beard Raven, Nathaniel Beard, Facey McStubbington and John Beardman Jr. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello. Beards. How are you?
This is a band, ladies and gentlemen, which have been together for, if I calculate it correctly, 6 years and have never played a song, single song that is not about beards.
Why would we? Well,
you're very sort of take no hostages about beards, aren't you?
Well, indeed. Let's look at this audience. There's not a beard among them. And it's a perfect example of why we exist, really, because
it's pretty pathetic,
Australia is a pathetic beardless country at the moment, and we're looking to change the way that is by convincing people to grow beards.
Now, look, you know, ABC interview style, I just have to take the opposite position. You understand that. You want to physically attack me, but...
Not physically,
Has the phrase, to disguise a weak chin, been made in your presence? It's often said that the only reason a chap grows a beard is that underneath the beard is a weak chin.
Well, that's a common misconception, isn't it?
Typical beardless propaganda.
Yeah, that's right. Trying to repress the bearded like you have for centuries.
I do feel better now I've got one on, actually.
Yes, that's right.
It's very nice.
You look a lot better, too.
you've recently been to the Alaskan World Beard Championships.
Yeah, it was the World Beard Championships held in Alaska, correct.
What's that like?
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
It's pretty bearded.
There was a lot of beards. The world's best beards, in fact.
So people come from around the world to show off their beards. How big do they get?
Huge. Our beards are pretty big, but our beards paled in comparison to the biggest beards in the world. Mm. They're very impressive.
You felt pathetic.
I just felt happy to be there. It was like the bearded utopian society we'd always dreamed of had sort of crystallized itself in this little town just for one weekend. It was great.
Well, why do you think Australia has, you know, by and large, turned against the beard?
Well, that's an interesting question. I blame Gillette.
Gillette Chic have a lot to do with it.
Yeah, their slick marketing campaign. Yeah.
And they've tricked all of you. You're all shaven. You're all buying this crap from Gillette. Yeah. Well, look at you.
How much have you spent on razor blades in your life? Think about it.
Yeah, good point.
You could look as good as us.
So, Subby, have you ever considered getting the beard look?
Now that he's mentioned the financial side of it, I'm thinking it's a good idea. I don't want to tell the guys, it's too embarrassing. I've done goatees, but I'm thinking you'd look down on that sort of carry-on, wouldn't you, I'd imagine?
Correct,
yes.
Yeah.
I want to know if I stop my electrolysis, if you'd consider me to do some backing vocals.
I got quite the voice, but not enough beard, sorry.
Are you allowed to shave the neck, or you got to give a full, you know?
I'll permit a certain degree of neck shaving.
Because it gets a bit itchy underneath, that's all.
Well, look, you know, it's important to be able to sculpt and shape your beard as you see fit.
Look, again, playing the devil's advocate here, the other point that is sometimes made is you know, with the ladies, that there's a little bit of a sort of gravel rash problem with the kissing, in the kissing department. Do you accept that?
No, once again, common misconception. We get heaps of women. Heaps. And only a handful ever complain.
Ladies and gentlemen, the whole band are nodding here. Now, you're going to present one of your songs. Every single song is about beards. Can you tell us some of the titles of the songs?
Sure. Mm. We've got a song called Born With A Beard.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good song.
We've got a song called No Beard, No Good.
It Only Takes a Fortnight to Grow a Decent Beard.
Beards Don't Kill People. People With Beards Kill People. There's another one.
Beard.
Beard is a solid
song. That's a good song. Yeah.
Yeah. But out of this, you know, wonderful smorgasbord of beard songs, what are you going to play for us today?
We're going to play for you a song called If Your Dad Doesn't Have a Beard, You've Got Two Mums.
The defiant, take-no-nonsense, hardline, pro-beard band, The Beards.
Remember when you were 14, your dad taught you to shave. That wasn't a very fatherly way for him to behave. You had to watch your first beard floating down the drain. A beard abandoned, a son betrayed. Your dad taught you how. And look at you now. 'Cause if your dad doesn't have a beard, you've got two mums, two beardless mums. If your dad doesn't have a beard, you've got two mums, two beardless mums. Remember how you watched your face lathered with cream? The mirror fogging over as the bathroom filled with steam. He put the razor in your hand and said, now let's begin. Shave with short, quick strokes, my son, and head towards the gym. Ooh! Your dad taught you how. And look at you now. 'Cause if your dad doesn't have a beard, you've got two mums, two beardless mums. If your dad doesn't have a beard, you've got two mums, two beardless mums. Oh, you've got two beardless mums. Yes, 'cause I can't stand to see a child put through that much pain when he knows that he'll never see his first beard again. And you know there is no better crime against the human race. Your dad taught you how. You're just like him now. 'Cause if your dad doesn't have a beard,
doesn't have a beard,
you've got two mums, two beardless mums,
two beardless mums.
Oh, if your dad doesn't have a beard, you've got two stupid-looking beardless freaking mums. 'Cause if your dad doesn't have a beard, you've got two mums, two beardless mums. If your dad doesn't have a beard, you've got two mums, two beardless mums. Two beardless mums, yeah. Two beardless mums,
it's all right.
Two beardless mums.
You've got two beardless mums,
two beardless mums. Mums.
The Beards. And thank God it's Friday. Okay, final verdict from Jackie and Julie, because after all these male adornments, they're really just about attracting the ladies. Kissing a man with a beard, I mean, be honest, ignore the fact that the boys are there.
Well, those boys are incredibly sexy, so there's no two ways about the fact that kissing them would be unreal. But when my husband Dan had a beard, he didn't get kissed for a long time. And he shaved it off.
I just have one question to ask. What's kissing a man?
Yes, it's a thing that some women haven't been known to do. But not in the eastern suburbs where you come from, Jackie. Please thank the Beards, ladies and gentlemen. Johan Beard Raven, Nathaniel Beard, Facey McStubbington and John Beardman Jr. Check them out on YouTube, where hundreds of thousands of people have clicked on that exactly that song on YouTube. It is world famous for these boys from Adelaide. They're playing Sydney at the Vanguard tonight. Thank you to the Beards. Now, in a moment, we're going to play the TGIF News Quiz. And if you'd like to play, all you've got to do is ring this number, 1-300-222-702. We'll present you with three stories from this week's news. All you've got to do is pick the true one from the two fakes. Graham Creed has joined the Beards, ladies and gentlemen. What a good look on you.
It's amazing. They're very catching. An hour ago, I had no beard. Now it's just grown instantly.
You look like the love child of Colonel Sanders and Osama bin Laden.
It's going to be a good look on the 7:30 news tonight, yeah. On the 7 o'clock news. Very, very
I'll
nice.
I'll shave just before I go on.
Now, I imagine it's wintry conditions since you look like Santa.
Yes, yes. This will keep me warm for the weekend.
You know, Graham, that, you know, the weather has credibility problems at the best of times. But really, I mean, with the beard on, I don't think anybody believes a word of that. Anybody sitting here just giggled through the whole weather. No one heard a word he said. Did anyone listen to anything? They were just transfixed by the beard.
Please thank Graham McBeardRaven. Graham McBeardRaven. We'll have to put some of these photographs up on the website.
Can I make one comment about Jackie. How the weather reports differ from here in Australia to in the US? Because I've just been in the US. I got back about 18 years ago. But in Australia, you heard very clear, concise, and in the States, very, very dramatic. This is a reenactment of the weather report. 20 minutes ago, this area was dry. Now it's wet. Police believe precipitation was involved.
They bring drama to everything they everything. Do on network news. We have Julia Morris, Jackie Loeb and Subby Valentine with us. Now, the French police this week, you will have heard this story, they made their first arrest under laws which ban women from wearing the burqa. It seems a bit tough.
It's berserker.
Berserker. Berserker burqa rules. But, yeah, it does seem tough. I think especially as there's so many other crimes when it comes to fashion. What clothing are you going to move against and what's on your sliding scale of penalties? Julia Morris.
Well, I need to ban the open toed shoe in early spring for those people who haven't had a pedicure, because honestly, I walk around town, I see nothing but petrol dipped gypsy claws hanging over the end of slides all over town.
It's like the window of the Little Shop of Horrors, isn't it?
It is beyond. Oh, see more as they crawl forward in the shoe. And so I think that the punishment for that would be that you have to lie down and have people's dirty feet touch you. Oh. How horrendous is it? I can't bear feet. And the second one is I'm going to ban the ill-fitted bra that gives you the double back fat. I know, I can't bear it. And the punishment for that is going to be wearing Nicole Kidman's corset from Moulin Rouge and getting a few sort of snapped ribs as you move. And my third and final one is the low-slung jean pant, which, I mean, young people, come on. I just don't understand. I can see your underpants. I can see a little bit of your bum. And I know that if my mother is at home and she's listening to this story, she will be shocked. But she and I were out at the Erin Affair many years ago when there was a chap with a low slung, those trousers. And she said, watch this. And she went up to him and she said, look, I'm terribly sorry, excuse me. I don't mean to embarrass you, but you've got a little bit of pooey on the back of you. And he ran, running scared, into the bathroom. It may have been the funniest moment of my life.
Your mother could be employed by state authorities to patrol Martin Place and put people
She's
off.
She's the guru. And you know what? She's just not a lady that says stuff like that, but she was just so sick of it. We've been talking about it. I was so sick and tired of seeing people with their low-slung pants. When did it become a modern trend? Seriously, yeah. This is around their knees. I think you're going to have to walk wide to keep the pants up.
If she was employed, though, it could be called a crack squad.
I'm sure she would be delighted after 13 years of all-girls Catholic private school education to be on a crack squad.
Now, Jackie Loeb, what do you want? The French are going for the burqa. What are you going to go for?
Well, this is a bit extreme as well, but I propose to ban any clothing
item smaller than a size 18. this will force women to purchase clothing that's too big for them, forcing women to get a life, embrace binge eating and cake, and grow into their clothes. I will, of course, be the only woman exempt from this rule. I will be allowed to wear size 14 to 16 garments so I can finally experience what it's like to be the skinniest girl in the room. Now, as for punishments, anyone caught wearing skinny jeans will be deported to France and made to wear a burqa. Any man caught wearing long socks with shorts will automatically be confused for a public servant and forced to live their dying days.
Come on, they're not all public servants. Some people in that outfit are maths teachers.
Or addicted to poker machines. What else? Anyone wearing leggings that exposes camel toe will be forced to live in a game park in South Africa and shot. Any man wearing high-heeled boots in attempt to increase his height will be forced to perform drag shows in Oxford Street. Anyone forced wearing Nike will be forced to work in a sweatshop.
And make their own shoes.
Yeah. Exactly. And also on the wedgie, the thing about the low-rise pant to expose, you know, the trendy brands like, you know, Calvin Klein, they'll be forced to wear undies that bear the brand Franklin's.
True quote from Calvin Klein's daughter in the news a few months ago. She said that she had a lot of trouble bringing boyfriends home because when she finally got their pants off, her dad's name was there.
Yeah.
Not good. Subby Valentine, who do you want to buy? Who do you want to imprison?
Men over 40 in bike shorts.
Yeah.
It's, what is going on with that? And also when, if they've got the little zip-up top as well with all the brands written on it, what are you in the Olympics? What are you doing? You're just down at the Erskineville shops, mate. Get a grip. You know, it's just ridiculous. And they're just... And then they're on the cafe. They're just... things against the, but they're just sitting in the cafe. If I go out on a Saturday morning, I want a coffee. I don't want meat and two veg. You know what I'm saying? It's not what I want to see. Ridiculous. They've really got to sort that thing out. It's very age related, I think, a lot of these things too. If you're 18, you can get away with anything, but once you're past a certain age, just, you know, act your age.
Call a stop.
So that's just and the penalty for that would just be a wedgie. I mean, they're already kind of wedgied already, but just give it a bit more. The other ones, again, men with 3/4 length pants. You know, that's a weird trend, the 3/4 length pant. It's neither here nor there.
What? How do people not know it makes their legs look shorter?
It just looks, I know, it looks ridiculous. Well, in the old days, 3/4 length pants just meant, you know, you were poor. That's what that meant.
No,
you had the washing machine turned up to hot.
Exactly. So get rid of them and give them a cane, I reckon, across the shins. The bit exposed bit, whack. Just give them a whack. I'd like to see that.
It's fashionable if you call them knickerbockers.
Yes.
Everyone likes
or
it.
Or a gaucho. Yeah.
Plus six.
For a gaucho.
We have Julia Morris, Jackie Loeb, Subby Valentine. We also have Camille from Glenfield who's rung in. Camille, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Richard.
Now, what does the weekend hold for you?
I'm actually going to do a radio announcing course.
Yeah. Is my job under threat?
It could be.
I'll have to make my voice deeper.
Yeah.
In order. What does that involve? What does that involve?
I'm not sure yet, but I think they're going to tell us how to present content so that weird people ring up for our competitions.
Yeah. So that you deal with them without... You know.
As you've seen from this show, content's not required. Don't worry.
Yeah, you got a mistake there. Now, we're going to present you three stories from this week's news. Only one of them is true. The other two I've simply made up. Your job is to pick the true one from the two fakes. If you can, you win the DVD Mother and Son Series 4 from the ABC shop. Whoa! Now, this week we have three stories from the world of television soap operas. Julia, what's your story?
Oh, what is my story?
I've got a copy here.
Oh, I'm as silly as a tick doll. You know, I'm nice but not very bright. Where do you reckon it would be? Here we go. I'd love
what
to
about read
yours.
Off that?
Oh, that'd be glorious. Oh, no, Mummy hasn't got a glasses. Have you got a small enough font on that? All right. Now, batten down the hatches. There is nothing like death to increase the ratings when you are running a soap opera. Well, that might be why there are so many characters in the Hong Kong soap operas meant grisly ends. Even so, the Hong Kong actor Law Lock Lam may have set the world's most bizarre record because he plays characters in 5 different soap operas. Oh, my God, who gets that much work? What's going on? And in all of them, he died. Oh, whoopsie. Okay, so he wasn't very good. So with all 5 deaths, they were broadcast on the same day. What are the chances, doll? And so traditionally, in the world of soap opera, a grisly death occurs and the actor asks for a pay rise, in which case the Law Lock Lam may very well have a less demanding agent.
Well, you entirely ruined that joke. But there you go.
Whoopsie.
Jackie Lowe, what's your story from the week?
No glasses,
Can I just quickly do my Ruth Cracklin impersonation?
Yeah.
It also doubles as a Rowena Wallace impersonation. As Arthur. Okay, so please don't do that.
So your story from this week's news about television soap opera.
Okay. There's nothing more romantic than a South American soap opera. But what about the cost of all this romance to the actors? In a world first, the Argentinian star Maria Florencia Pina is suing her production company under the occupational health and safety rules, arguing that the script required her to kiss other actors to such an extent, excessive extent, that she now has developed dermatitis of the lips. It doesn't specify what lips. And beard rash on her cheeks. As one blogger put it, all this kissing, it really sucks.
And Subby Valentine, what's your story from this week's news about the world of soap opera?
Soap opera audiences love a death scene, but they also like their regular characters. The solution? Have a character die and then return a few weeks later in the form of an identical twin sister. The technique may be common, but Patricia Fallows, star of the long-running show As the World Turns, may have set a new record. In the new season, she plays a woman who has plastic surgery in order to look identical to the identical triplet who entered the series after her identical sister died. That second sister emerging after the first identical sister was eaten by a bear. Fallows' character has now died three times in 4 years, on two occasions of the same disease. As one blogger put it, at least she's got a good sense of tumour.
It's not a tumour.
Now, Camille, let's review your choices. Julia Morris's story about the Hong Kong actor who died five times on the same day in the world of soap opera. You've got Jackie's story about the actor who is suing for under occupational health and safety for all the dermatitis problems to her lips from the kissing, and Subby's story about the woman who has whose character essentially has died three times in 4 years playing identical triplets versions of herself. What do you reckon is the true story from this week's news?
I'm scared of striking out, but I think I'll go with the South American one.
The dermatitis of the lips, occupational health. They do a lot of kissing in those shows.
Yes, they do.
All right, lock it in. Here is Helen Zarimas with the true story from this week's news.
Veteran Hong Kong actor Law Lock Lam had an unusual run of bad luck when he died in five different soap operas in a 24-hour period last week. Hong Kong actors whose characters die are given a red packet with a token amount of money for good fortune. So, Law received five separate packets from the various production crews.
Helen, thank you very much. Camille, you didn't win, but we've got a consolation prize for you.
That's okay. Maybe I'll win your job in a...
Exactly.
She's gunning for you.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. You know, my job is probably worth less than a copy of Mother and Son, but, you know, go for it.
But we'll give you a little red packet of money, Richard.
When I die. Camille, thank you very much for playing.
Thank you.
We have Julia Morris, Jackie Loeb, Subby Valentine, and a wonderful audience. Thank you for coming. Now, of course, Royal Wedding Mania is taking over this week from New Idea magazine, which this week offered readers a knitting pattern so they could knit their own royal couple. No, true. To the Times of London, of all things, which offered its iPad readers an interactive game in which you could dress Kate in a variety of outfits. If you were Kate and William and you could have any sort of wedding you wanted, what would you go for? Subby Valentine.
I think they should go full Bogan. That's what I like to say. The royal family's kind of halfway there anyway, don't you reckon? They've kind of got a bit of Bogan about them, so I reckon they could really, really crank it up. I think lots of cleavage would be great from Kate. Mm-hmm. I think for the wedding, really, you know, get a knockers out. I think that'd be great. Very British as well. I think that'd be perfect.
Well, the London tabloids would like it.
The tabloids would love that.
She could be on page one and page three.
Exactly. Perfect. It'd be a 10-page spread. It'd be brilliant. They've already got the carriage, so they'll be in the big sort of ridiculous carriage, sort of Jordan style, you know, Peter Andre and all that. So they've already got that. That's very Bogan. And then they could have behind, the Queen could be in a stretch Hummer. I think that'd be nice. I think that'd be really classy. I'd like to see that. And just loads of bridesmaids. I reckon about 15 bridesmaids just in hot pink. Just loads of them just lined up. And forget the Abbey and all that sort of carriage. Do it in the London Eye. You know that great big thing? Just revolving. You know, and then everyone could hang out the bottom, look up a dress. It's very classy. So all that sort of thing. And at the reception, you have heaps of seafood because that's expensive. And
he's basing all this on his own marriage.
It is. pink champagne, because, oh, that's classy. So he'd have all that stuff going on. I'd like to see Prince Harry read out some wildly inappropriate telegrams. You know what I mean? Just get up there, just making out that Kate's the town bike. I reckon that'd be great. Billions of people on the telly just going, oh, look at this, a bit of that sort of stuff. And then just at the reception, I don't know, a bit of a Beatles covers band maybe, just sort of this thing. And then run out of booze at about 10 p.m. Yeah. And get all the international guests just to start punching on. Wouldn't you love to see the King of Spain and some prince from Russia just going at it in the dance floor?
We hosted a wedding at our place, some friends, and the caterer ran out of food, which is the most shameful thing.
Yes.
You tell this story to Greek people and they just look at you as if, well, why wouldn't you die at that point? But the caterer ran out, and my wife and the best man rang for pizza. That's the sort of event you're talking about, isn't it?
That's what we want.
Right. You'll run out of everything. Yeah. But we didn't run out of beer.
There you go.
In fact, we had half a keg left, and all the groom's rels came round. 7 o'clock
in the morning.
Of
course they did.
Finished it off.
That's what.
7 o'clock.
That's class.
Morning.
That's what we want to see.
That's what we want to see. Yeah. That should be a model for the royal family. Jackie Lowe, what would you do if you could do anything as they can do?
Okay, I would have like a combined reception and service at an all-you-can-eat buffet at Sizzlers. The one in Cogra is quite central to me, so I'd go for that one. Simply so I could turn to the Queen and say, you certainly got your money's worth. And, of course, Fergie would be there. Fergie would be the guest of honour, doing laps around the buffet table with her handbag open, taking stuff for later. I do love Fergie. She's actually apparently the new face of Weight Watchers. I saw an ad with her on it recently and I hardly recognise her. She has just lost so much credibility. Now, as a royal, I would obviously insist on my privacy, so I'd have my honeymoon during Schoolies Week on the Gold Coast, just so I could blend in with the other white trash. I would also expect a bridal registry from Harrods, and anyone who purchased Royal Doulton China, of course, would be beheaded, and that would be nice. Can I just say one thing? I remember when Prince Charles and Lady Di were married, my father bought us these beautiful 50-cent commemorative coins, and I remember when Lady Di passed away in that tunnel, thinking, wow, this is going to be worth a dollar now. So I just remember
it wasn't everybody's first thought, but...
Not everyone's greedy and evil.
Julia Morris, you could do anything if you were this couple. What would you do?
I would have my wedding at a Wet and Wild water slide.
Nice.
Because I would just want to see all the media trying to keep up as they do their vows, as they go through sort of the tunnel of death and then hurtle their way around Splash Mountain. And then I want to see the Queen in her cozzies just sort of whipping around there. And then I had visions of them all sort of going off to their reception on a double pool pony.
It'd be a nice touch, wouldn't it?
It'd be unreal. Remember the pool pony? How good was it? Yeah. The double, come on, it was Christmas.
And you could have the great big pumping action water pistols.
Oh, you'd totally. It'd be the best Wet Wild water slide. We're all there. I do. Yeah.
Prince Philip would go nuts for that.
Oh, he'd love it, don't worry. Sort of, oh, and Fergie should be poolside, don't worry.
Thank God it's Friday. On 702, we have a wonderful cast with us, Jackie Loeb, Subby Valentine and Julia Morris. And our audience, thank you for coming. Yay! Now, the publisher Random House this week says it's discovered 7 new stories by Dr. Seuss, never published before in book form. I'm betting they weren't published for a reason, probably because they take on some pretty serious and grim topics. What are you expecting when the book is published, and have you been able to discover any of the rhyming passages? Jackie Loeb.
I think it'll inspire some contemporary updates, and I've written a few. I've taken liberty. The Grinch That Stole Christmas. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. I won't brave the crowds at Kmart anymore, for with just one click I can purchase online at www.cheapwarebeerandshitwine. This one as well. I do not like green eggs and green ham, but due to radioactive waste, I eat it by the can. I also eat chicken and their double D implant breasts. And although endangered, I swallow down the Lord Howe Woodhen and its chicks in her nest.
Julian Morris, there must be a reason they weren't published. Maybe they were about very serious things.
Well, I found one that had my daughter's name on it because I love buying books that have got my kids' names on them, Ruby and Sophie. I was going to call Ruby Shaniqua Slough Quell Bethany Leanne Rhymes Destiny Jasmania. But I earned too much, so I... But I did find in the new Dr. Seuss, which is called Sophie Is Too. Now, this may or may not be the actual words, but nevertheless, it says, when you throw yourself down in the store on the ground, it's all my strength not to just hit you. It's illegal, you see. No more smack on the knee. Oh, and gone are the days when I bit you. You're a little smart, eh, when we're out in the day. They call it the terrible twos, when you screw up your face and stomp around the place and make me clean up all of your poos. Well, I'll have the last laugh when you grow up too fast and we'll all go to your 21st. The speech I will do about tantrum and poo will make your friends laugh till they burst. So keep it up.
Dr. Seuss. Now we know what's in the new book. Now, who were the winners and losers this week? Some of them.
I haven't done my Dr. Seuss gear yet, so just ease up over there.
Ease up.
I spent minutes on this.
Yeah, the things we will hear, the things we will see when Ballantyne finally gets to be.
Oh, man. Now, mine is not so much serious or grim, just a little bit inappropriate. Mm. And because I know, obviously, we all know The Cat in the Hat.
Yeah.
Fantastic bit of Dr. Seuss work. There was a little-known follow-up, and it goes like this. The toilet was filthy. It made quite a stink. Something was in there. It made my eyes blink. Then we looked and we saw it. My goodness, my word. It was all brown and feathered. The bird in the turd. I know some good tricks, said the bird in the turd. I know some good tricks, which you may not have heard. I can gargle with wee, I can juggle with poo. These are great tricks and you can do too. But we did not want to juggle with poo. If you had some poo, is that what you do? So as fast as I could, I ran to the loo, grabbed hold of that bird as quick as can do, and with a big flush, I sent on its way the bird in the turd on that terrible day.
Oh. And the terrible thing is that most kids would prefer that to the original. Now, who were the winners and losers? Subby, who were the
I would
people
go
this week?
For, look, it's I think junk food fans winners because they're going against the rising tide. Obviously, we're all trying to get healthy. You know, right across the board, I think we're all trying to do it. But then, lo and behold, along comes the Easter show. And it's all out the window. Because you can still, they try to introduce a few nice foods out there, but you can still get fairy floss and Pluto pups and, you know, massive cans of, you know, frozen Coke, about 8 litres of it. You know, that stuff, you can get all that sort of stuff.
The Pluto pups are quite nutritious. For instance, the stick.
That's true.
Properly chewed.
That is true. It's something, a bit of fibre there. But I love the frozen Coke in the great big tubs. It sort of rots your teeth and freezes your brain all at once, which is fantastic. Just put all those things are just perfect before you go on the Vomitron. That's what I really like. Because the food makes you nauseous and then the ride makes you nauseous. It's just, put them together, it's genius. So that's the winner. And the loser, of course, is the poor carny folk down the bottom who've got to deal with the people going on the Vomitron after having the Coke and the, you know, the what's-name. Mm. I mean,
but luckily they've got a side business which is supplying the hot dog manufacturer with some of the excess material.
Is that where it comes from?
That's where it comes from.
Well, they get a bit of loose change. That's the
just the cycle bonus. Of life, Subby,
it is,
of life.
It all comes round.
Winners and losers. Jackie Loeb.
All this talk about poo and vomit must be excrement Friday. But anyway, the losers of the week would without doubt have to be welfare cheats because Julia Gillard is determined to get people off welfare and here's what she had to say earlier at her press conference. Good afternoon and welcome. Well, today I'm here to talk to you all in terms of everyday working Australian families and everyday working Australian families and not forgetting everyday non-working Australian families. Now, I propose to do something about welfare cheats. You've all heard of work for the dole. Well, I propose to introduce work for the old age pension because I believe you're never too old to take up a new apprenticeship. I will also be introducing work for the disability pension because people with disabilities can work. They just have to try a little bit harder, even if it hurts a little bit. Now, on the subject of the new carbon tax, people have said to me they believe that climate change is crap. Well, I believe that climate change is real. In fact, I believe that climate change has been around even longer than Matthew Newton's criminal record. So there you go.
Jackie Loeb in Julia mode. Winners and losers of the week. Julia Morris.
Well, I am the loser of the week because coming in on my flight from LA yesterday, it became apparent...
Oh, it's a great way to start a sentence, isn't it? That's great.
The latest thing on these fabulous A380s and some of the other planes is the in-seat flight entertainment, which is actually put in the back of the seat, but it's touch. screen. So there's nothing more refreshing than the 15 hours of someone poking at your head and moving your seat the whole way there, which is kind of like pokey walk at waterboarding. And then I had a word to the person behind me. I said, look, I'm terribly sorry, but you're making my seat move a little bit. He said, it's a touch screen, duh, were his words. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, so
it's hard when the captain talks to you like that.
It's extraordinary. I said, you could touch it a little bit more softly. And he said, oh, it's going to be like that for the whole flight, is it? And then just proceeded to press and play games on the back of my head. So I was a loser yesterday. But the winner of the week for me was that I read about this fabulous person who is a Melbourne eBay seller who managed to auction off a human skull. How magnificent was that? And so apparently it sold for $675 and there was a great photo of the skull on a wooden bench. Nothing makes it more attractive than for a skull than to be on a wooden bench. And then apparently, I mean, let's just turn a blind eye to the fact that it's illegal in Australia to traffic human remains. When they investigated the eBay seller, who was also selling stuff like a Lady Diana and Prince Charles wedding coin. Oh. I know, Jackie. And he was also selling a Humphrey B. Bear toy.
So how long have you been on eBay, Jackie?
So the coin, Humphrey B. Bear, a hat from the Vietnam War, and they were all photographed on the same wooden bench as the skull. So that is my winner of the week.
All class.
Managed to get it
all
through.
Class. 3-6. Now, a new dating website called findyourfacemate.com offers people the chance to meet other singles. Guess what their unique selling proposition is? They match you to someone who looks like you. The idea, they say, is successful couples often look quite similar, like people and their dogs. So the computer matches you on that basis. What do you think of the idea, and on what basis do you believe people should pick a prospective partner? Julia.
Anyone who says yes... It's a numbers game, and so anyone who says yes, I say you're in.
Jackie Loeb.
Can I just say I love online dating because you can be really, really specific and type in exactly what you're looking for in a potential partner. Anyone, enter. But I also love, I've joined RSVP.com about 18 months ago and I didn't get any response and finally got a letter from the CEO of RSVP.com who said, I'm really sorry, Jackie, but there's no one compatible with your personality. And I said, that's impossible. I've got so many personalities to choose from. So, yeah.
Subby Valentine, what do you reckon?
Just, it's all very well, but, I mean, this whole idea of going for, you know, people that look like you. I mean, think of the children. Because that's the problem.
Double trouble, isn't it?
Breeding, think of the pack of children. It wouldn't be right. They'd just look very, you know, if there was, you don't want successful ugly men marrying other ugly people who look like them. That's just weird. You need to get the attractive young women in there.
Well, that's why we've married beautiful women.
Exactly, you're right.
To breed the ugly out.
I think it should be based on what sort of takeaway you like. That's how you find a partner, because years down the track, on a Friday night, you're going to be going home tonight saying, let's have some takeaway. What do you want, Thai? Oh, I want a pizza. It's a disaster. That's the relationship's going to break up over that. And then, because then people start wedging them together and you don't want one of those ridiculous gourmet Thai pizzas. What the hell's that? What are they doing? Leave it alone. You don't go down to the Thai place and get mozzarella in your green chicken curry.
Do you reckon that's why all those gourmet pizzas got created in the first place? To try to sticky tape together marriages.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
My husband reckons when you go to IKEA, if you make it to the checkout without having a huge fight with your partner, you've got another 5 years and you're married.
Yeah, if you can find the exit.
That's right.
Please thank Jackie Loeb, Subby Valentine and Julia Morris. Jackie Loeb and Julia are about to go on a big tour of the country together. You see their stage show. It's playing in many centres across the country. Tomorrow night, our big TGIF stage show is on at the Seymour Centre. Wendy Harmer, Gene Kitson, Tommy Dean and Anthony Aykroyd. For more details, contact the Seymour Centre. In the meantime, you can download the free podcast of TGIF by visiting our website. It's at abc.net.au/Sydney and click on Drive. Until then, I'm Richard Glover. And thank God, it's Friday! Yeah.